good morning. Oh, where is David Paul Blumenschein?
See what I did. See what I did to you, Kat. I told you I want to be. I want to be Stu, Kat. I want to be Stu. Put get Kat. Get me off of the. Get me out of here.
Hold I'm on. Not doing that. We're doing a mashup episode. So I'm Conservative Kat. You're probably wondering who is that weird girl there. It's Conservative Kat and David Paul Blumenschein's right over there. And David, I'm very excited about today's show. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, it's good to be here, Kat. I actually, I thought I was on your show.
No.
I'm just here to provide, you know.
No, I need my DPB show. I look forward
Kat,
to
I know
it
you have an intro. So Thursday
at 4 o'clock. Okay, so my intro, are you ready? Governor,
well, Kat, go right to your intro. Thank you.
He's not just letting What's illegal that? Aliens slip through the cracks. He is letting sworn officers or letting illegal aliens become sworn officers. That's right. Criminal alien survey of law enforcement.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I didn't think that was going to happen. I didn't think that illegal immigrants were going to actually be police officers in the state of Illinois. But it makes sense. JB needs an army.
Yeah, and I can't imagine what's going to wind up happening next. I'm scared that this is going to turn into a slippery slope. We allow criminal illegal aliens to have Second Amendment or to get FOID cards here in the state of Illinois. Who knows? They can carry.
Wasn't the legislation only for DACA dreamers that could become, you know, undocumented aliens to become law enforcement officers? They were never going to. Wasn't that the shtick that they tried to push it through when they presented this legislation? You were there.
Yeah, I can't exactly remember. I think it was DACA or some sort of like you had to have legal authorization to work here in the United States. So this goes beyond like we're talking illegal immigrant. There was a bill. It was House Bill 3751. This is it. And it expanded the eligibility for law enforcement to those who were legally authorized to work in the United States or green card holders or asylum seekers or DACA recipients. So that's what House Bill 3751 did. But here's the thing. That was passed in 2023. Guess who was president back then? Joe Biden. Everybody was legalized to work in the United States under federal law because everybody, what was it? The CPB1 app or whatever the hell.
Yeah.
Where all you had to do was, you know, click a few buttons and you were authorized to work in the United States under federal law under Joe Biden's regime. So
everybody.
It allows non-citizens. I mean, they are still non-citizens. They're just legally able to work here. Now, this guy overstayed his visa, David. So it's much worse than what you might have thought. I mean, the bill is bad. 3751, it passed in 2023. So, but this guy, take a look.
Overstayed his visa.
Yeah, it was a B2 tourist visa.
Okay.
And he was required to leave the United States March 31st, 2015. Okay. So he's been in this country on an overstayed visa for 10 years. That was 10
plus years. And lo and behold, he goes to the police academy and becomes a badge-carrying law enforcement officer.
Yep. Fox,
Does that even happen?
They've got the details here. Hold on. There's just a small little clip, and you can see his picture so people can see what he looks like.
It's two breaking news now. Immigration Customs and Enforcement has just revealed in the last short time a police officer working in Illinois is an illegal immigrant. Radule Budjevich works for the Hanover Police Department. He graduated from the academy in August, but he has been living in the U.S. illegally for a decade. After his tourist visa expired in 2015. His illegal status was discovered as part of Operation Midway. So we wanted to bring you the very latest on that.
Okay. So
how is that even possible? I mean, I understand the legislation, but how? Yeah, I mean, so you're saying the legislation as it is written right now in the state of Illinois includes anyone who is here illegally?
Well, this legislation says no, that they're here on a work visa. So technically they're here legally, authorized to work. This guy is in violation
of his
federal law and state law, because the state law does not extend to people who overstay their tourism visas. You have to be authorized to work. So specifically, a work visa or an asylum seeker or green card holder. And he was none of this.
Side note, though, he was a good looking law enforcement officer. I mean, come on. He was standing straight up. He looked, I mean, he wasn't like a schlep or anything. He looked like he could actually be the real McCoy, but he's not. He's not the real McCoy.
And it kind of sucks because it's like, wait a second. It's kind of an oxymoron. You're supposed to be a law enforcement officer, but you're breaking the law.
You're breaking the law. You're not even following the law, but yet you went to a police academy. So what are the criteria for getting into a police academy?
Apparently, let me look this up because I had.
You just show up and they just, they tell you to, to strip down to your tidy whities and they do all the physical stuff that they do and have you pee in a cup and
I'm pulling it up right now. Okay. Right. You've got to be a U.S. citizen. So that's what it says here. Looking at the Illinois State Police cadet application. Now I don't know if he was an Illinois State Police. No, he was with the
Hanover. He was with Hanover. Yeah. So he's a municipal cop. But still
At this. It says you have to be a United States citizen, 21 years old, a valid driver's license, Illinois driver's license, and hold a high school diploma or GED to attend police academy.
Whether you're becoming a county deputy or a state police officer or a municipal, village, town, city police officer, you go through an academy. And there's certain criteria, but this guy just... He just graduated in August from the academy. So I'm August of last year, obviously, 2024. So prior to Trump being sworn in. So this was another part of their whole shtick, right? JB, they were trying to mobilize and fortify and get as many people in law enforcement too, carrying badges that aren't even United States citizens. I can't believe Illinois is the only state. Is it the only state that allows illegals?
Well, they don't. That's the thing, David, is like our laws mean nothing. And I think that is very dangerous. I mean, it says right here, I'm looking at the cadet application. I'm looking at in order to attend the police academy, all Illinois officers do, you have to be a U.S. citizen. And that's according to state law, federal law. And here we are. So our law means nothing. That's what this ultimately means. And that's scary because this could quickly descend into just complete and utter chaos. Well, it's the same thing, Lizzie Johnson from the McLean County Board and, Unit 5. You know how they do these like campaigning things, the electioneering or the alleged electioneering. I don't want to get in trouble. Allegedly. Allegedly. But they do like they get the band teacher, I think it was, who got up there on the microphone and told everybody to vote yes for Unit 5. And then you have Champaign County.
Board member Corey Burney.
Was it him?
Yeah.
Okay. Is he like a music teacher? I don't even
remember. Yeah, he's the one that, he's the music chorus, band teacher. Yeah, he's the one who paints his fingernails. And he's something. He's something. Yeah. And his wife is, I think, Abby Scott. So she's a municipal council person now. So yeah, these crazies are everywhere. They're everywhere. Yeah. That's what Glenn Beck says. They're everywhere. They're
everywhere. Well, they don't abide by, you know, ethics or laws, things that are written in ordinance.
Or morality. Morality is the big one. They don't even, pause for morality. They just run right through that stop sign.
Yeah. Yeah. Where it's like, it might say like we can't electioneer using taxpayer resources or the institution or the location itself. But we're going to do it anyway, because who's really going to enforce it, you know? And we're not clearly enforcing the laws when it comes to the police academy. We definitely don't enforce it when it comes to electioneering. This has happened in multiple places of the state. In Champaign County, they were putting up billboards telling people to vote for the sales tax there, or whatever the hell. And they were spending taxpayer dollars to put up those billboards. It's like, what the hell is even this country if we're not going to enforce the laws?
Hey, Kat, on your morning show this morning, did you cover the Unit 5 school board meeting last night at Normal Community West? For those in our audience, obviously, Unit 5 is one of the largest school districts in McLean County, which happens to be in the central part of Illinois, from a regional perspective, if you're wondering what we're talking about. But did you cover it this morning?
I did not. I have it all pulled up, ready to go. I've got the clips, and thank goodness for Diane Benjamin. She has all these timestamps, and we can just kind of go through it and watch the crazy if you want. That's what I had lined up. Real quick before we move on, $78,000. $78,955 is what that guy got paid, by the way, with taxpayer money. So I wanted to make sure I threw that out there.
Wow, there you have it. $78,000.
$78,000.
Yeah, I got a $78,000 check. Said no one ever, except the corruption that goes on in the crazy world.
Yeah, the average Illinoisan salary, I think, is like $50,000. Yeah, something like this.
Somewhere in the mid 50s, 60s, or low 60s. Yeah,
which I wouldn't be all that upset if he was a U.S. citizen, and if he wasn't, you know, using weapons against me, a foreigner who's using weapons against me.
Well, how about the guy? I mean, before we pause, I mean, how about the dude that was from the Congo that became the superintendent of a school district? Did you not cover that story?
No, I didn't see this.
From the Congo, literally got voted in as the school board president.
Was in Illinois?
No, this was, I can't remember if it was Kansas. Maybe Pam, you know, or someone else out there in the audience. Appreciate everyone joining us today at the mashup of the Conservative Cat and DPB show. Like, subscribe, just Google Conservative Cat, and then go out to all of her platforms and just love all over her site and her page. Yes. And the DPB show. Don't forget the DPB show.
Yes, always subscribe to the DPB show. I always wind up cooking
dinner. Iowa. Brad Worth was the first. Look at Brad Worth. Hold on.
Brad. Was it Iowa?
Brad said it was in Iowa. Was it in Des Moines? I think it might have been. Did you find it?
Maybe.
Pull it up. Let's get it up, Kat.
Des Moines School Board President Jackie Norris exits U.S.
No,
it's not that.
No, it's a black man from the Congo.
Yeah, I...
Why did I have to say black? Because he was black! Jeez.
I mean, I'm not finding
it. You can't define somebody by the color of their skin. I'm white. I mean, okay, no big deal. And there's nothing wrong with it. You can be black, you can be whatever.
Yeah, I'm not finding it. He had
six kids in Iowa?
Let me actually... You know, I'm using Google. I could probably use Twitter. Hey, folks, this is how you do it at home, because Google likes to censor. And oh, here it is. Yep. I found it.
What's his name? He's a good looking guy. He's kind of like the police officer. Man, they're good looking Americans that are not Americans.
Superintendent.
Superintendent. We're not talking about principal.
Immigrant superintendent wasn't checked through federal e-verify system. Yeah. I think that this is it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he was in charge of all those kids. Who knows? He might have been, and I'm not saying this. I'm just saying, what else was he involved with? Was he involved with other things that involve children? If you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and you don't want foreigners, you know, foreign agents that you haven't vetted in one, your country, but definitely in your institutions that are very crucial. And I would say education and public safety are pretty critical institutions, right up there with healthcare.
Yeah.
You don't want these institutions loaded up with people who
are not citizens of the United States of America.
I might have a special or a foreign interest in mind, you know, like, so the truck drivers, I know that this is a big deal for them. They're not even necessarily illegal immigrants. They're here on like work visas and stuff, which is what we have to cut down on. And I hope that the Trump administration is serious about, you know, H-1B visas and cutting down on that stuff and cleaning it up, because what's happening is you've got these foreign agents, Chinese nationals or Siberia nationals, coming in driving trucks, and that is a threat to our supply chain, our commerce, the way we do business here in the country. And I mean, if they had ill intentions or like we're working on behalf of our adversaries, they could shut down like overnight our supply chain and like shut down our trucking system. You know, if you wanted to destroy something from within, you go and you put these people in the most crucial institutions. DHS just released more info on the Iowa school superintendent. He's an illegal alien. His name is Ian Andre Roberts. He has a very long, violent criminal record combined with immigration fraud. He's also voted in elections. And he is, as you said, from the Congo.
Well, so I'm looking up like you did, Kat. I'm trying to figure out. Okay, so this is Lynn Mar School District. I'm assuming that's in Iowa. I asked for Iowa school districts, but you know, I just said what are the requirements? I mean, the baseline. What do you have to be in order to reach the level of a police officer at a police academy or the superintendent of one of the largest school districts in Iowa? And Iowa is not a liberal state. Des Moines, Iowa is, but it's just a small part of Des Moines, Iowa. You know, for the most part, it's a red state. I was just trying to look at what are the requirements? You know, what do you have to do? Yeah. For the school.
Well, I imagine a superintendent, he has this long violent record, and I'll pull up the receipts here.
Yeah, you can be be a felon, because it sounds like he has felony charges, his police record. I mean, I'm assuming he's a convicted felon.
Yeah. Well, definitely the immigration fraud.
Yes, that's a felon, right? Immigration fraud is a felon. It's not a misdemeanor.
Okay, here it is. I'm going to pull it up here.
Okay,
here's his criminal record.
All right.
It is long because this is just page one. There's felonies here. There's felonies because he was arrested with a
Glock
pistol, a fixed blade hunting knife in his possession. He also had $3,000 in cash. Illegal alien, possession of firearms. That is a felony. Fourth degree weapon charges, criminal possession of a weapon, reckless driving. Unauthorized.
But these are dating back to 1996.
Forgery.
And now we're talking 29 years later. So when did he become
1994, David? There's another
one. Oh my God. So when did he become superintendent? Does it say there? Was it just this past year? Was it under Biden? Did Biden appoint him superintendent? See how I slipped that in. He was a Biden appointee.
There he is.
There he is.
Yeah.
I just, yeah.
I'm doing it in real time, folks. Hey, you can't Google this stuff because I just Googled it. Iowa Congo Super or Congo School District. And nobody's reported on it. So what I did, I plugged it into Twitter, folks. So that's how you look up things in real time. Just go into Twitter, type it in the search bar. Twitter is my Google.
Brock could do it better than Google can.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know when he officially got hired the school. I'd have to do some digging. Really crazy stuff. I've never heard of that story, David. Thanks for sharing.
Well, no, I mean, I meant to cover it on, I mean, at some point, how do you cover all the craziness that's going on and the cleanup that, you know, I was thinking about this today. I mean, where does Trump start? I mean, Biden made such a debacle out of not only our domestic policies, but our foreign policy. So Trump's done a great job of addressing a lot of the foreign policy stuff, right? Because it's the world's on fire. Ukraine and Russia, the Hamas and Israel, you know, the Pakistan and Afghanistan, you know, on and on, South Africa. I mean, the crisis that is involved worldwide, and Trump's out there brokering peace deals right and left, right? North Korea, South Korea. I mean, I don't even know all of the peace treaties he's put in place, but there have been a lot. Indonesia, I know he did something over there. I can't even keep up with it. But net of it is here we are talking about something that is so absurd that you can become a police officer, go through the academy, you can become the superintendent of schools, meaning you are now the head cheese of a school district with lots of kids. And of course, you know, when you don't agree with something, you whip out your machete there and you mutilate children or whatever you do. I mean, golly, he's got weapons charges involving long bladed knives. I mean, you can't make this stuff up.
Well, an officer's approached him. I was looking at this school superintendent. Officers approached this guy, and they asked him to identify himself, and then he sped away.
Yeah, of course he did.
And he had weapons, you know, in the car. And yeah, he came here on a student visa in 1999 and was given a final order of removal by an immigration judge in May of 2024. He had a loaded handgun and $3,000 cash and a big blade on him. And at the time of his arrest, he was working as the superintendent at a Des Moines public superintendent of Des Moines public schools. So this was no small school district either. Yeah. I mean, it'd be one thing if, like, you know, it was a rural school district and like people didn't check. You know, this is a pretty big school district. I'd imagine Des Moines is a big area. Probably lots of schools in that district. Insanity. You got somebody who's looking over children. He's got a narcotics charge. And then you've got the officer here in the state of Illinois. These are such crucial institutions. And we got to get the feminazis out of these institutions, out of healthcare, out of education. And we've got to get the illegal immigrants out of it. I'm sorry, but we've got to have superior merit and United States citizens working in these institutions. That's my take.
Well, which is this a good time to talk about Normal Community West? Obviously, we covered it last week. I did, Matt Chapman. It sounds like it was a pro Chapman night at Normal West last night. Is that what you're hearing?
I don't know. WGLT, the NPR station, I read their article and I looked at the video. There was it was pretty half and half, I'd say.
Yeah.
But they spinned it, right? And they made it appear like Chad Burke was the only person who spoke against Matt Chapman's actions here on behalf of the McLean County Republican Party, as if this was just an initiative of the McLean County Republican Party. When you had, I know for Alex Williams, near 1,000, over 1,000 people sign a petition calling for his resignation. Similar comments made by him, or comments made by him on social media about Charlie Kirk's assassination and Christians. And then he had Matt Chapman. He wore the ICE t-shirt, right? The abolish ICE.
Yeah. Well, so. So there's people that are speaking in favor of Matt, wanting him to be able to wear whatever t-shirt, which it blows me away. Once again, the blatant refusal to adhere to court law. These are decisions made. The Supreme Court ruled on your ability to basically, what's the word that we were using earlier about when you're electioneering? He's electioneering as a teacher in the classroom. Oh, my goodness.
Sorry to scare you, David. Hang on. Oh. This is a normal West student, so.
She's a ghoulie.
She defended exactly what you're talking about. So she cited a 1968 Supreme Court case, but she completely ignored what you're talking about, David. What was it? 2006 Supreme Court ruled very clearly that public employees,
once they cross the threshold, they're no longer, when they speak, they're no longer allowed their right as the First Amendment right. They can't just get up there and teach and speak about anything they please.
Yeah. Give this a listen. You're going to love it, David.
All right, go ahead.
What I'm here to talk about. Pickering versus Board of Education, 1968. A landmark case that determined a teacher could not be fired for expressing a political opinion. Eric Dodge versus Evergreen School District. Another case in which a teacher wore a MAGA hat to school and it was determined that he could not be punished for it under the First Amendment. But none of that matters, because who cares about the Constitution? Who cares about the Bill of Rights or amendments? Who needs law and order when we have immigrants as a scapegoat? Who cares for free speech or habeas corpus or search and seizure or the right for a fair trial or protection from cruel and unusual punishment? We can ignore the flagrant disregard of people's constitutionally protected rights to free speech, due process, fair trial, but we draw the line at a teacher wearing a shirt to school, because that is too radical. Let me be clear. Matt Chapman did absolutely nothing wrong.
Okay. I know it's a little bit quiet. She says, Matt Chapman did absolutely nothing wrong. And this is a normal West student. So unclear how she heard of Matt Chapman wearing the shirt, because I'm pretty sure it's at normal community, right?
Yep. That would mean Matt's at normal community. Yep.
Yeah. So, yeah, she cites the 1968 case. I can keep going if you want, David.
I'm pretty much done with this. She's had her mind taken over, which is, what happens to these kids.
Yeah, well, and I like what Pam has to say here. How did she know about the 1968 ruling? Did somebody
to her? Because she was told about the 1968 ruling, because Lord knows she wasn't alive in 1968. And she might have, maybe Zach Gett or whatever his name is, he gave her, because he seems to be researched on all things transgenderism and all the things that go with that. And heck, you just ask Matt or Zach. Yeah, heck, he knew about COVID and masking, and he knew the efficacy of masking. These people, they just bloviate like you're supposed to believe them. So what's the big deal? He wore an abolish ICE shirt. Okay. Then.
Yeah, but and then she, cited some example about where somebody wore a MAGA hat and didn't get in trouble for it.
Yeah.
Let's try it, shall we?
Yeah.
Somebody who works at normal community, wear your MAGA hat and watch how fast they kick you out of this place.
What do you think about my lid that I have on today, Kat?
Oh, I love it. Is that Taryn Bailey?
It's actually the Bailey Farm hat.
Oh.
If you notice it, there's a little cross in the B. But since my last name is Blumenschein, it fits for me. B's for me, too. B for Bailey, B for Blumenschein.
I love it.
I like the little cross, though, because obviously, that's where my heart's at. That's where I believe everyone's heart should be. So... No, I selected this for the show today because Darren Bailey is my candidate for governor. In fact, I don't know of any other candidate that has the ability to mobilize the people like Darren is going to do and has done in the past. And literally, folks, it's just as easy as 400,000 more votes than he got in 2022. And if JB loses the same amount of votes that he did from 2018 to 2022, Darren Bailey will be sworn as the next governor of the state of Illinois.
And Darren served on a school board, didn't he?
Set for 17 years.
See, that's what we need. I talked about this on the Conservative Cat Show just a couple of days ago. I think there's a very simple fix. Ideally, I would love to see no public education, right? Not be publicly funded at all. Yeah. But there's something that people don't know about, which is charter schools. And I'd love to get in front of Darren and ask him about charter schools, because his wife, I know, has, I don't know if it's
a Full Armor Christian Academy is actually, those are two private campuses. I think they fall under the guise of charter schools. That's how they started out.
Yeah. Well, they're really cool charter schools, and we don't do them here in the state of Illinois. And after Hurricane Katrina ripped through New Orleans, they built up their school education system using charter schools. So it's really cool. Not a lot of people know about it in Illinois because they're not a thing. As soon as they pop up, they kind of get shut down by the teachers union. But it's what they're publicly funded, but they're sort of contracted out by the state. So they're not required to follow the state template. And I think that it's going to take a governor who has experience because of the crazy that is Illinois education, and our kids can't read at grade level. Some superintendents are getting paid, get this, $400,000, over $400,000, $423,000. It was, I think, in Rich, some sort of up north, there's a superintendent. Can't remember the name of the township, but it's insanity. $400,000, David? That's like
to be the superintendent.
Yeah. The United States, I think, makes that much.
That's what the president of the United States makes, about $400K. Yeah. Except unless you're Trump, and then you just donate that salary back to charitable causes. Trump refuses to take money. And why should he? He's obviously wealthy enough as it is, and he does very well for himself. Thank God.
Yeah. And love how he bought the renovated the ballroom with all his own money as well.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. So it could fit people.
What's this clip you got pulled up here, Kat?
This is actually a dad who made comments about Alex Williams. And of course, Alex Williams didn't respond. You know, what's fascinating here, David, Unit 5 is so corrupt because in Algonquin, Illinois, there's a school board president made similar comments to Alex Williams. They were slightly more very ragey and anti-Charlie Kirk slightly more than Alex Williams, but she had to step down from her role as school board president.
More visceral than Alex Williams.
So I can play this. Here we go. This is a dad.
Good evening. My name is Eric Pokarney. It's E-R-I-K-P-O-K-A-R-N-E-Y. I'm the proud parent of two Kingsley Junior High students. I'm here tonight concerning the recent post that Unit 5 school board president had put out on social media. As a concerned parent, I find it bothersome that somebody in a position such as Mr. Williams would make such posts. I won't argue that Mr. Williams has the right to post and speak his mind in the manner he sees fit. However, I expect more restraint and class out of someone elected to the position in which he holds.
Mm.
Mr. Williams, I find your words as biased, offensive, and untrue. I've never met you. I've never seen you before right now. Mr. Williams, you were elected to make sure that all of our children were given the best opportunities, safest schools, and most qualified staff to help them succeed. I'm not here to call for your resignation. I'm not here to tell you that you are wrong just because we may not align politically, socially, or spiritually. I'm here so that you can prove to me that you can put your personal politics aside and to make sure that you're using your power, your vote, and your influence in a nonpartisan way to better the lives of every person involved within Unit 5. I hope the best for my children and all the students within Unit 5. I want all these students to grow up and be successful. We should be determined as a whole, every person in this room tonight,
yep,
to be grooming the next generation of leaders, thinkers, and doers.
Grooming.
But most importantly is that we're doing this in a way that our children are forging their own path. These students need to choose their own path based on the decisions that they make, that they believe in, and what they care about. If my children grow up and differ from my beliefs, the only thing that matters to me is that they came to their conclusions based on what they believe. I cannot sit on the sidelines and let anybody within this district bring party politics into the school. There's absolutely no place for it.
I can pause that, David. He's spot on, though.
Yeah.
He's spot on. I don't know. Did he say grooming?
He did say grooming.
Did he say grooming? Good. Well, yeah, that's exactly. So, Alex Williams, you want me to read the post, David?
Yeah, go ahead.
Sadly, there are too many believers. Here is a list of things that run rampant in our society, is what Alex Williams says. Low information voters, for example, those who only source information from Fox News.
Fox News, of course it was Fox News, because conservatives, that's all we listen to. No, we Alex, we got other sources like Florida Voice, Eric Daugherty, plethora of other things. Here's Darren Bailey calling me. I probably
me, Alex that, Jones. Alex Jones.
Alex Jones.
Two, he says, Christians who claim they love God, a God they've never seen, yet hate their neighbors whom they see daily, which I think is just deeply offensive, as this guy said. Three, institutional racism woven into the fabric of the American dream. Four, denial that institutional racism exists, or if it did, there is no disproportionate impact to marginalized communities. Five, lack of basic human decency and respect. Let's do better, America. And he puts a picture up there or a video of what the cult believes, MAGA cult believes. So, yeah, that's what he said on social media, in case you didn't find it or see it. And then he had
And like all these things, they lose traction quickly. I think somebody had mentioned it, Pam did. Last night's Unit 5 board meeting was a nothing burger. Over 60 emails to the superintendent. Here, I'll throw it up there. Over 60 emails to the superintendent, and three showed up to speak. You know, and Pam, I hear you. I mean, that's the thing. And we talked about this on the DPB show. I know you talked about it, Conservative Cat. You know, all of it is lip service. You know, Becky Swan and Ty Smith went to the District 87 meeting, and they opened up a can of you-know-what on the board members there, and they got national recognition. Matt Chapman was pointed out by Terrence Williams, lives of TikTok. I think Laura Ingram picked him up. I mean, the list goes on and on. And these people chastise this man. Now, was that enough? Do I want Matt Chapman to lose his job? At this point, I don't even know what I want. Because Matt, I've known...
Well, let's start with this. An apology, right?
Yes. Yes, an apology. Matt, say you're sorry. Matt, don't wear an Abolish ICE shirt to school anymore. You know, wear that out with your wife on date night to the Mexican restaurant that you go to.
I like what Miss Tanya's is here. Well, people have showed up, and we've sent dozens of emails before. Nothing changes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. I've gotten to a point, you know, and people tell me this, and I try to push back a little bit on them, and I say, well, you got to try to change it. They say, I don't want to vote anything anymore because I vote people in. They go to Springfield, and they vote for things that I don't agree with, or they vote for things that are totally... I mean, there were Republicans who voted for HB 3751. I think that's the number where non-citizens could become police officers. They have work
Republicans.
Republicans.
Ones that we called out. And
sponsored.
I mean, I can tell you right now, now this particular state legislator, you know, which I like Dennis Tipsword. I truly like Dennis on most issues. And Dennis is now running for sheriff
of Tazewell or Woodford County. He's going to run for the law enforcement, the head law enforcement position in a county. And he believes that it's okay to allow non-citizens to become county deputies? I don't know. If the academy doesn't allow them to even be in the academy, and Dennis, if we're not correct on this, and you get wind that we covered you on the DPB and Conservative Cat mashup on Thursday, October 16th of 2025, please reach out to us, because I think, Kat, I was with you in studio at our former gig, the radio station, and we were on a speakerphone when we called him. He was very uneasy. He didn't want to address the issue, did he?
Yeah, and I think that there's more to it. And this is what happens to Republicans all the time. They get there and they think they are going to outsmart them, or that they can kind of manipulate legislation to get their way, because they're in the super minority. They think that they've got to come up with creative ways to outsmart them, or creative ways to argue with them. You know, for example, the compulsory voting thing, outright wrong. That is tyrannical fascism. Why the hell are we even talking about it? You know what I mean? Well, and the food stamps things, right? The SNAP, they're all pissed in a hissy fit because Donald Trump, he's got the federal work requirements. And hey, you've got to bring your SNAP rate down, or your error rate down, Illinois, in order to receive federal funds for the SNAP program, for us to match your program. Like, this is just common sense. I could go on. I mean, this one, House Bill 3751, non-citizens becoming police officers, even though they've got like work authorization. Like, there's just common sense things, and you don't have to play into it. And I feel because like they're in the super minority, they think that they've got to play these games or creative games to try to get them to say no to these bills. You just got to call it out for what it is. It's evil, it's wrong, and it's stupid. Compulsory voting, fascism, non-citizens being police officers, illegal.
Illegal.
Yeah. You know, and
entering the country without going to a port of entry is illegal.
Yeah. A threat to national security, having these people on our police force.
Oh, without
question. You know, call it out for what it is. Don't dance around, you know, in the public libraries. They want to start changing them into places where you can go get Narcan or mental health centers or whatever.
Like, libraries.
No. Mental health centers. You know what I mean? Like, just say no. You don't have to come up with some creative.
They've already done the movie One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
What's
They already did the movie One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Is that what they want? The library, Jack Nicholson? You know, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, where we're giving everybody frontal lobotomies?
Yeah. You know? I just, like, no, because they're libraries.
Yeah, they're libraries. You know what I mean? It's supposed to actually be there for people to expand their minds rather than to lose their minds.
Yeah. And every single Republican, every single one, David voted for Narcan to be stocked on the shelves at public libraries.
Yeah.
Like, I take my kid there, go try to, you know, pick out some kids' books and utilize my taxpayer resource, right? And then I walk in and somebody's, you know, convulsing on the ground and you've got to shoot them up with Narcan, like. And Betty, you know, the 50-year-old librarian's over there trying to figure this stuff out. Like, what planet is this? Sometimes I listen and then the Republicans are like actually listening to this compulsory voting crap. I don't know. I've gotten to a point where it's like, I don't get upset with people who say, like, I don't want to vote anymore. I don't get upset with people who don't show up to the school board meetings anymore, because why? I don't know. I think that it's going to take a leader within the Republican Party. It's going to have to come from top down. And I'm hoping Darren gets in, because I think that a lot would change if you had somebody in an executive in the executive branch to change a lot of the rot and the smut that goes on in the state. So
yeah, I was going to try grabbing him on. He was calling me, actually. I just had to send him a text message, Kat. He was calling me during the DPB show. I'm sure he is so busy farming right now. They are trying to get, they're at 65%, roughly 65% of the harvest. Beans and corn is what Darren's family do. They do a little wheat and they do some alfalfa. And I know they do some organic farming too, but for the most part, it's soy and corn. He said the beans weren't looking very good, which unfortunately, in light of everything going on the futures market and the options, and how they trade soy and corn. But the corn's really looking good, which is going to be kind of the saving grace. But Darren already knew going into the planting season that it was going to be a lost leader, meaning they already lost out last year. Last year was a bad farming year. And this year was going to be equally bad. But it does look like brighter days are on the horizon for 2026. Hopefully they're on the horizon, or brighter days are on the horizon for 2026, because Darren Bailey becomes the governor of Illinois in 2026.
Yes. Yeah, that's what I'm picking. And I think that you need somebody in the executive branch, because there's just a bunch of silly people in the legislature. And I mean that not in a facetious way, but in a really real way. They're just very silly. And I think that you need a leader at the top. Everything rises and falls with leadership. And a lot of these agencies, like the problems we're struggling with at a local level, your Matt Chapman's, your Unit 5 school board, and the all of that stuff, your teachers not being able to teach a curriculum or discipline children the way that they should be disciplined, right? All of that stems from these agencies in which Governor J.B. Pritzker appoints people to, you know? And there is no local control anymore, and it's all it's all J.B. It's Pritzkerstan, right? That's where we live. We don't live in Illinois. We live in
Pritzkerville. Yeah, Pritzkerstan, Pritzkerstan, yeah, exactly. And that's the impact that a governor can have in his state. Mm-hmm. There's like 1,000 different agency appointments where he hires, and those agencies actually drive the state. The budget is driven by, of course, the governor puts forth a budget. It's voted on by the General Assembly. If it's passed, it goes back to the governor to be signed. However, if the governor suddenly, is able to put forth a budget that won't get passed, because that's how we had a budget impasse with under Rauner in the General Assembly, then here we are in gridlock. What is the problem with a government shutdown or gridlock in the General Assembly? Well, then people will start saying, well, people aren't going to be funded. You know, people aren't going to get their paychecks and all these agency positions. Well, maybe it's time in Illinois that we truly got our fiscal house in order, and we went and we shut down the government for a while, because it's the biggest purveyor of corruption. You know, we found that out under Mike Madigan. I mean, what they were doing, I mean, that hasn't stopped. Mike Madigan just was indicted and sentenced to go to federal penitentiary. What Mike Madigan was doing is still being done in the state of Illinois. Next man up.
Yeah, and I think that they kind of changed it a little bit. This nonprofit organization stuff has got to stop. It is so bad. I was just actually reading a story. There's this nonprofit organization. They get like $2 million. The vendor payments, you can go check them out on the Illinois Comptroller website. You type in the employment identification number for the nonprofit. You can see everything that... and it's probably more than just those vendor payments. That's just what, you know, agencies deal out in checks. But this nonprofit organization up in Chicago, $2 million every 3 months, you know, and then you look on their tax filings and then you find out that the executive director of the Chicago nonprofit is making $400,000 a year. And you're like, to do what? Yeah. And this is one of those feel-good nonprofits. They're actually supposed to feed people in Chicago, the homeless or whoever, people who need food. Can't afford it. It's like a food bank-ish. And they're supposed to be these do-gooders, but you've got, and then the people right underneath are 5-6 people underneath are making $200,000, $300,000 a year. It's like, this is a freaking scam.
Well, it is. When people get that kind of money and from a non-governmental organization, NGO, non-governmental organization, that's the big thing that Elon Musk was going after with the government office of Department of Government Efficiency. And we need a Department of Government Efficiency here in Illinois because it is truly out of control, meaning people are making money that is just unheard of. My beautiful wife, Mrs. Producer, I'm not saying give up. There is loads we can do, but trying to shake up school boards who care zero about us, why? And there are. Let's have programs and we all pitch in and we basically do what Charlie Kirk's organization Turning Point is doing. Compete. We were talking about this before the show. Compete. They've identified the largest audience outside of the Charlie Kirk Memorial Service is the Super Bowl. And they identified that more eyes are on the Super Bowl. So now what they're going to do is advertise that they're going to put forth their own halftime show. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, half of the audience is going to watch the alternative show put forth by Turning Point USA, which means basically it guts the halftime show of the Super Bowl. And maybe it sends a message to them, provide better entertainment, and we won't compete against you. Instead, they really have struck gold with this thing because they're going to pivot off of selling advertisement for the Turning Point halftime show. And that's what we need to do. Build a better mousetrap. The public sector sucks at educating our kids. It's proven. I mean, we don't have to go down the statistical role of how many people are underperforming in our public school system in Illinois. Okay, what's the alternative? And it's one thing, and I'm guilty of it. I've said, get your kids out of public schools. I don't care what it takes for you to homeschool your kids, because I'm not even really big on private schools because a lot of private schools are woke too. And so, but we've got to do a better job.
We've got to be counter what they're doing, you know, because
yes.
Remember when we ran everybody for Unit 5, remember there was a fantastic
Molly Emery, Brad Slick. Worth, Amy Jetta, and Dennis Frank. We had four of the most prominent candidates we've ever had for school board.
And not one of them got on.
Well, but it's not about good candidates. It's about Alex Williams. It's about the left. And they're pushing people into the limelight and stacking the deck, you know, and figuring out how to beat us in the public education sector. And net is, I've told so many people, stop competing against them. Compete against them, but don't try to compete against them in their own arena. Go and make your own arena.
Yeah,
that's what Turning Point USA is doing. Don't try to compete, you know, against J.B. Pritzker doing what J.B. Pritzker is doing. Create your own arena, something unique that is you and shows the differences between, and try to flip the audience, flip the student body.
Yep.
That's what I have to say about that.
Well, you're exactly right. I mean, because you will never win at a rigged game. And JB, remember all those wonderful candidates? There was a website. I think they were labeled extremists or whatever. All kinds of funding dumped into that race. And like you can't win when your hand is tied behind your back. You know what I mean? It's a fixed fight. Yeah. So, you know, Tom Fitton, he's one of those where, you know, he's fighting his own fight and he's, you know, taking it to court and he's, you know, doing his own thing and fighting a different fight but not doing it with them, you know, and he did it his own way.
Yeah. Judicial Watch took on the Illinois State Board of Education or the State Board of Elections and trying to uncover and have the voter rolls released so we can see what exactly it looks like. Now the Department of Justice has requested it, and JB keeps doing his master job of what is it, cloaking or trying to be invisible, but publicly professing that all they want to do, as we covered on Tuesday, is militarize the election process and have soldiers count the ballot boxes, apprehend the ballot drop boxes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they're doing a great job. And I think I like what Tanya says here. Stop trying to get the liberal vote. Stop cowering.
Yes. He's ghosting. Stop. Yes, he's ghosting. That. Thank you, Pam. Pam, that's the word I was looking for. Pam's on top of it. He's ghosting. He's trying to ghost the DOJ. He's trying to ghost the Tom Fenton and Judicial Watch. Yeah. They've already ruled on turning over the data. They already ruled about cleaning up the voter rolls. It's federal law. How can they continue to fly in the face of federal law? Well, no different than we can with state law and having non-citizens become law enforcement officers, or in Iowa, having a superintendent of the largest school district who has a long criminal record with felonies. I mean, how does that happen?
Because they're criminals. They do criminal things. I really hope that, and I don't know what your thoughts are here, David, but I hope that Donald Trump and Pam, like, they're serious about, I know that he's thrown it out on Truth Social about arresting Brandon Johnson and JB. I think we've gotten to a point where I think that's all you can do at this point. And well, are they going to do it, actually? I don't know. They're already talking about going to San Francisco, and I hope that they don't give up on Chicago and federalizing and using the Insurrection Act and invoking that.
No, they're going to clean up Chicago. And unfortunately, as I've said, arrest JB. Bottom line is, he's shown over and over again that he's willing to defy the law, especially federal law. And I believe, my wife has said this often, Mrs. Producer, Tanya, I think JB wants to get arrested. I think he wants his own mugshot. I think he's trying to rally something. He doesn't have a chance at getting the nomination on the Democrat side of the aisle for president. So what truly is his end game? And maybe he's so delusional. Maybe he thinks that he still has a shot at becoming the nominee of the Democrat Party for president. And because he's done everything he can to fly in the face of law and order.
He's kind of like a knockoff Donald, like a
dime store knockoff Donald.
Yeah, like a Donald Trump, but the opposite. So yeah, like the exact opposite, and
in so many ways. Like Donald, it was successful, and JB never had any success in his family business. They just give him money so he stays away.
Yeah, and I think it's just such a beautiful like example between somebody who flees to the public sector and somebody who stayed successful in the private sector. And I always say it, I think public sector, it's just the revenge of the nerds. It's the nerdy kids you grew up with who were really weird. They were the furries that ate by each other or ate in the lunchroom and never really wanted to be a part of the club, although we always invited them, right?
Yeah.
And they were the weird furries, maybe the theater kids, right? And they grew up, got into the public sector because they couldn't make it in the private sector, failed at it. And now they really are pissed off at the Donald Trumps of the world. Who were successful in the private sector.
Yeah, without question, Kat, without question. Well, look at that. I'm just glanced down and my timepiece on my Casio watch, G-Shock, says 5 o'clock, the bewitching hour.
Boy, that means it's time for prayer.
It means it's time for prayer, Kat. And I know that you're going to do a great job. Now, Kat, people are going to be able to see this show, a repeat of this show, just by clicking on it because it's going to play over. But on Monday and Tuesday of next week, you're going to run some content because you're going to be out of town.
Yes, I am going to Texas. We are going to be watching Formula One racing in Texas. Formula One Racing.
Oh, so, my goodness.
I am so excited. I'm a big racer. Yeah. You know, everybody's been asking me, like, why are nails? I have a checkered flag right here on my nails.
I see that.
I got it done for the race. I'm excited.
No, you're going to have fun. Those are fun races.
Yeah, the Conservative Cat Show is going to re-air some DPB Conservative Cat mashups that we've done this week, Monday and Tuesday. Subscribe to DPB right now. Do it right now. I see you watching. Do it.
Do it.
And watch it on Monday. It'll re-air, and you guys can find it if you're an early bird, or you can click on it then. All right, David, you want me to pray?
Yes, please.
Okay. Father God, thank you so much for this day, Lord. We are just praying that good triumphs over evil. Lord, we are praying for our legislators. We are praying for our governor, that you change their hearts and minds and that they profess you as Lord and Savior, because we know once you do that, your heart changes and you're a new creation. And I just know JB would be the best if he had you, Lord, and profess you as his Lord and Savior. Mm-hmm. And Lord, I'm just praying for our children, our school children in the institutions, the healthcare institution. Lord, I'm praying for public safety. I'm praying over these institutions. I pray that the school children are not exposed to ideas that are counter to what your word says. I'm praying that you protect their little minds and that you expose them to your word and you give them the knowledge, because you said in Hosea that my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. I pray that you give all of your word to these small school children who might not be exposed to it. I pray that you expose them to it and that you give them your knowledge and your wisdom. Lord, I'm praying all of these things, and I pray for David. I pray over his show that he reach everybody in the corners of all the 102 counties of Illinois, and I pray that somebody will subscribe and that the show just is has seen so much of prosperity and abundance. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Conservative Cat. Conservative Cat. Monday through Friday, 6 to 8 a.m. Go like and subscribe. Get to her show. DPB will be back on Tuesday and Thursday next week. I look forward to seeing you. I love you. I know Kat loves you, but Jesus loves you more. We look forward to seeing you next week. Go out there and get involved and be a part of the solution, not part of the problem. Farewell.